Content presented on the following podcast is for information purposes only. The views and opinion expressed from host and caregivers are solely given based on the experiences of the individuals involved. Because each person is so unique, always consult your physician, physical or occupational therapist for medical and fitness advice. Are you struggling to help your aging parents or disabled spouse to do everyday personal care tasks? Are you concerned about them falling or you injuring yourself? What is the task that is so difficult for you to help them to do? You are not alone. We can help. Finding a Foothold is a weekly podcast show that invites you to call in and tell us your challenge. Here, you can receive practical tips and strategies from an occupational therapist and from other caregivers like yourself. And here is your host, Consuelo Marshall.
Hello, I'm Consuelo Marshall, occupational therapist. Welcome to Finding a Foothold, a community of caregivers who've had caregiving challenges and have learned many lessons along the way. We know how you do things, and having the right equipment and support can make caring for your loved ones easier and safer. Stay tuned. You hear from caregivers that call in and share challenges they face today, and you hear tips from experienced caregivers as we work together to bring hope and improve how you give care. Let's get started. Hello, this is Consuela, and welcome to another episode of Finding a Foothold. And we are at episode 10, and I am so excited about that, and that the community is growing and that the word is getting out and caregivers are starting to call in to tell us what those things are that they are struggling with every day. And my desire is just give them little tips and strategies and insight that they can use to make the days go easier. So let's just jump right into the calls. Renee is calling in from Georgia. Hi, Renee. Thanks for giving us a call today. And Renee's question, and I'll read it to you, is, should I be letting my mom dress herself? She's able to do it, but she just sits and waits on me to do everything. She was in the hospital for a week because she had a very bad bladder infection, but she's much better now, just a little weak. But I am thinking she should be doing more for herself, and I'm wondering if you can give me some suggestions on what to do about that. Hello, Renee. Thank you for calling. I really appreciate the fact that you're stepping in and taking care of mom while she is recovering, and I hope all goes well. So to address your problem, let's talk about some things that could be occurring here and some things that you can consider to help move y'all along faster in her being able to be more independent with her dressing skills and other things that she may need to be doing for herself. So, Renee, three things come to mind that could be taking place here. Number one is mom is loving the attention you're giving her. Mom may be that person who's never been sick before, and she's been the one who's been giving out all that good care to other people. And now she's like getting some of that payback, and she's like, oh, wow, this does feel pretty good. So maybe she's just soaking that in a little bit longer than she needs to, but we all need to be pampered sometime, and maybe that's what mom is feeling right now. Another thing you have to consider is fear and pain. Is she fearful? You want to ask her those questions, not related to, is that why you're not dressing, but just say, Mom, are you hurting anywhere? And that gives you something to consider. But I would just, in general, before you get things started for the day, for her to get dressed and get up and about, is, Mom, how are you feeling? Are you hurting? So that way you can know right off the bat if pain is going to play a factor in her being able to do anything to help herself. And then you want to consider fear. Is she just afraid? If she's afraid and it's just something you all got to work through with her as soon as possible and safely, because she has to really gain some confidence in herself that she can do more for herself. So it could be a pampered aspect of it, the fear pain aspect. And then you have to even consider, is it really possible that she can't do it? Now, you almost want to do the same thing regardless of where we're at in that. You know, first of all, you want to give her something for pain early before you're making demands of her to do anything. But once you're past the pain, then everything else, you do it the same. Because this is what I have to do when I'm treating a patient. Is I do want to encourage independence, but I want to also address these little factors that can hinder people's progress. So what you want to do definitely is making sure she's in a safe place to do it, not sitting on the edge of the bed. My favorite place for patients to do dressing is just seated in an armchair. So if she's seated safely, then you want to bring everything to her. Bringing things to her to start with is where you need to begin. So giving her the things that she needs, and then you somewhat make yourself unavailable for those simpler things by doing other tasks within the room. What you can do is start with the easiest thing. Put the shirt on top, the bra, or whatever they can put on while they're seated, and you attend to something else in the room. Say things like, let me change your cover. Let me fix this. Oh, look, I'm going to empty this wastebasket. So you're like doing something right next to them and you're allowing them to put on the shirt. And if that goes well, then you go to the next thing. Stand close by and you reach out and help when it's needed. But I want you to avoid from just doing it all. And at the end, a little bit of praise. Don't go too, wow, you did it. I knew you could do it. I knew it. You were faking. You want to just refrain from all of that. But just in a way say, oh, Ma, oh, we did it. You did good. You did good. Going through that process, you want to back off, back away a little bit, but only doing it as she is able to safely do things. And look, but I want to encourage you to just look at making sure it's not you rushing her too much. Because sometimes as caregivers, we're like, we're ready for this to be over with. Oh my gosh, she's been home 2 weeks. I've got to go back to work, or I can't drop by every morning. And all of those things do creep in. And I felt that way as a caregiver, having to do things and then trying to get to work and trying to get back to normalcy in my life. But you definitely want to give her the room to improve safely, because if you're pulling back too soon and she has a fall, then this is going to set back both of you all. Then you're going to be starting back from square one, and it could even be more severe than the bladder infection, which is severe in itself, because bladder infections are just powerful punches to the whole system. They can sideline people. Your mom's in the hospital almost a week. So that tells you these bladder infections are serious. But look, I appreciate the call and I appreciate you being there to help Mom. But I am glad you're definitely mindful of what are her skills. What are the things that she needs to be doing? Because the worst thing that caregivers do, they get in there and they do too much. And then a person starts to expect too much. So look, I appreciate again the call, and please call back again and have a good day. And thank you. Bye-bye. And our next call is from Molly. Molly is from Louisiana, and she is a woman of few words, but here is her call.
Hey, Consuela, my name is Molly. My husband wears a back brace. How do I get him dressed?
Hello, Molly. From Louisiana, thank you for calling. I appreciate the call. But girl, you didn't tell me much of anything. So I've got to piece together some things to really come up with an answer for you. A back brace. So look, I am going to assume this back brace is nothing that he chose to wear on his own, that his doctor ordered it. So why would he order a brace? Either he had a surgery, something occurred, and he had to go in there and put some nuts and bolts and put things back together, and the brace has to protect everything he did so your husband doesn't undo all of that hard work. Or he injured his back, your husband, but it wasn't severe enough to go in there to do anything, but the doctor says you need to wear this brace and let it heal on its own, and y'all come back and see me in 2 weeks. Come back and see me in 6 weeks. That's all I can think, Molly, that it was prescribed by the doctor. Your husband didn't just decide in the middle of summer in Louisiana that it was stylish to wear this hot brace. So he has this brace and you still got to figure out how to get him dressed. Well, you got to find out more information from your doctor. When can we take this brace off? But let me just tell you some of the common things that doctors will do. Some say that the brace can come off at night and he can go to bed without the brace. So, I mean, then when the brace is off, that's when you can do the wash up and changing the shirt, you know, before you go to bed and first thing in the morning. So typically that means you can sit up on the side of the bed. But you got to remember there's a little technique of how you roll. Just make sure he doesn't twist. Then you just put a shirt on then. And the other thing doctors say is that he has to keep it on 24 hours a day. They'll make allowances to just take it off to change the clothes, to put another shirt on. So it's just, you talk to your doctor and it goes without saying, you have to change your shirt. But just making sure he doesn't move his trunk. He doesn't lean forward, twist to look behind him for anything, just looking straight ahead. He can go through the motions of lifting the arms up and putting the shirt on and pulling it down. There's nothing that is dangerous about doing that. But after putting a shirt on, then you immediately put the brace back on. So I hope that helps. But please, Molly, clear it with the surgeon, with the doctor as to how often he can take the brace off, whether he needs to sleep in it, or is it just something that he needs to have on when he's out of bed. So I hope that helps, but yeah, you got to wear clothes. So it's just that when the brace is off, just making sure you don't bend at the hips, turn, like twisting at the waist, and definitely he's not supposed to be doing any heavy lifting at this point either. So thanks for the call, and I hope he heals well and that after the brace is removed, then he can begin to enjoy some freedom again and be able to cool off, because wearing that brace, I tell you, you almost need a fan in that thing. It is hot. All right, Molly, y'all take care, and thanks for taking care of hubby. Y'all have a good day. Bye. And our next call, our third call, is from Tim. Tim is calling in from Texas, and he says, my mom just got out of the hospital yesterday, and she had a surgery because she broke her ankle, and they had to put pins and screws into her ankle. The surgeon says she cannot put any weight on her foot, and she is now home in a wheelchair. What are some things that I can do to help her be able to be home during the day while I go to work? Thank you for any help that you can give me. Tim called back in and added some additional information that I needed. He says that his mom did receive 3 days of therapy while she was in the hospital, and that she doesn't have much pain, and that she was independent driving and living by herself before, and she hopes to be able to do that again soon. Okay, Tim, thanks for giving a call back to the call-in line and giving me that additional information that I need. It's really good to know that your mom was independent before. She has a good foundation to build on, that she was independent driving and that she was living alone. Okay, now the fact that she can only put weight through one leg does make things challenging, but it doesn't make things impossible. These are things that we encounter quite often in therapy. It's just is to figure out those things that a person needs to do, because just because they've had an injury, that their bodily functions still have to occur. You still have to go to the bathroom. You still want to get in and out of bed. You still have to access food. I mean, you still got to live. You still have to make life happen, although you've got to do it differently for quite a while until things can return back to normal, or as close to normal as possible. So with your mom, you know, you want to definitely make sure things are set up properly before you can consider leaving her there by herself. And you mentioned that she had a wheelchair. So for you, Tim, it's just to make sure the house is as wheelchair accessible as you can make it. I mean, you can't tear down widened doors, which you wish you can, but that may not be needed necessarily right now, because we're hoping this is a temporary thing. But you do want to go in and move furniture. You want to move tables or chairs or things that are blocking access to a doorway where she can easily enter or exit a room. So number one, getting in there and just in the wheelchair, with her in the wheelchair, or just pushing the empty wheelchair throughout the house, or you in the wheelchair and rolling it, making sure she can access her bed, into the bathroom, into the kitchen, and have access to a TV and the phone, and access to the door where she can exit the house. Those are the major things that you want to make sure are present. Then you want to make sure she came home with the proper equipment. So you've mentioned number one, the most important thing is the wheelchair. Now, she'll also likely need a walker. Now, we don't advocate walking much or not walking at all, because at this stage, without weight bearing, she would have to hop. Hopping on one leg is very dangerous and it can easily result in a fall. So no walking allowed. Look, let me start by asking, is she getting any home health service? I want to just interrupt with that right now. If she did not come home with home health services, I really want to advise you to call the doctor, the surgeon, or her primary care doctor. Either one can do the job, is getting home health services. And that's where a therapist comes out to the house and provides instruction to her on how to safely do transfers in and out the wheelchair onto the bed, onto the toilet, onto the bedside commode. And that's a much needed service for your mom, home health therapy services. So I'm not able to give you any techniques that she can use for transfers because I don't know her strength. I just don't know. I'm not there, and it's just not something I can safely give you any advice on. But the therapist can really help you with all of that, making sure her transfers are safe and teaching y'all the safest way and where to position equipment so that she can function safely. Make sure you are right there with her for several days so you can see what she's able to do, and make sure you have home health services that can come in and that can be with you all and sort of give y'all some guidance throughout this whole process. So thanks for calling, and I hope she heals well and she keeps that foot elevated because it can swell a lot. So having her do that is important, but yeah, thanks for calling in, and definitely call back again if you want any more specifics that I can possibly help you with. But right now, you really need a therapist who can be in there and give y'all some one-on-one, hands-on training on how to be safe in the home. And thank you for calling in again, and good luck to you and to mom, and tell her to stay safe, and y'all have a good day. And our final call today is from someone calling in from Georgia. She did not leave her name, but she says, I find myself getting very angry with my mom. She wants to stay in bed all day. She wants to complain that her back is hurting, her knee is hurting, her hips are hurting. Yet I don't feel like she does anything to want to get better. She wants me to do everything for her, and I am very exhausted, and I need some help in trying to decide what I need to do. I don't know if I can continue to take care of her because I feel like I am having to do everything. And I want to see if there's any suggestions on what I should be able to do. And should I continue to provide care for my mom? Hey, Miss Georgia. Hey, I feel your pain. I really empathize with you on how you're feeling, and I can understand why you feel that way. You know, this is a very tough one for me because I do understand physical things a lot more clearly than the other parts of the psychological and the emotional part, but they are very entwined together. And much of the schooling of a therapist does entail a lot of the psychological aspect of movement, because a lot of it starts within your head, you know. And this was a saying that I would always tell my kids when I help them with homework, is that I'm not going to work harder than you. I'm not going to outdo you on your homework. I'm only going to work as hard as you want to work yourself. So that's for you. I'll encourage you, but I'm not going to work harder than you. And I have that same principle with everything in life, including therapy. People have to take ownership for what is important to them. And that means if you're going to eat yourself into a bad health, a bad situation, and then count on me to get you out of it, then I'm not going to do it. I'm definitely not going to do all of it, and I'm not going to do more than what you're going to do, but I would definitely help you. If you're going to be sedentary, meaning you're not going to move a lot and you're going to have pains and aches because you're not moving, and the result is you need me to move more to do the things that you need to be doing because you're not moving, then my answer is no, I'm not going to do it. I'm definitely not going to do all of it. I think we just reap what we sow, and it's very unfortunate. I am all about the person who cannot do it. I mean, they just can't. Their body has come to the end of what it can do. They cannot do anything for themselves. I will go to bat for you. I want to make sure that I may not be able to do it, but I'm going to do my best at seeing what I can do. I'll do my part, and I'll make sure there are other people that know you have a need, and see if as a group there is somebody, there's some organization that can come and help and support you. But yeah, when you're talking about an individual who is choosing not to be inconvenienced in order to get better, but yet you want to inconvenience me. You want me to stop my life and put my life on hold so that you can get your needs met. Then my answer is absolutely no. I'm not going to do it. When you have certain pains are there because you are not moving enough. Your back is hurting because you are not moving enough. Your hips and your knees, do you know joints are meant to be moved? And each time you move a joint, there is a secretion, there is a thing that goes on in the joints that keep the joints lubricated, that there is more blood supply sent to that area, and you're bringing fresh new oxygen and blood to those areas, and it allows it to move easier and move freer. That occurs with movement. And if you're putting things in your body that you know you're not supposed to eat. I mean, you're a diabetic and you're just loading yourself down with carbs and sugars. And then as a result, you can't get out of bed. You're sick and you're this and you're that. And then as a result, you need more help from somebody else who has their own life to live. I think that's very unfair. It's unfair. And I'm sort of with you on this one. I'm not saying throw mama out in the streets but I would have this firm talk with mom. Sometimes you've got to stand up and be firm about things, but do it kindly. That doesn't mean you be ugly, but you stand your ground and you say what's on your mind, but you do it in a spirit of kindness and gentleness. So I would do that with mom, but you know, you want to make sure this is the case. So I would caution you, where do you start? I mean, you know, there are going to be some feelings hurt. You know, I hate that, but it sort of comes with this, that she's not going to like you. She's not going to like the decisions you make. And y'all have got to come to the meeting of the mind that if her pain and her disabilities and her debility and her inability to access things in her life that she needs, if they are solely based on her decision not to engage in them, then maybe you're not the caregiver for her. Maybe it takes more than one person to meet all of her needs. It can't be you. Then is there a team of people you can have in there to come support you so that you're not the only one in there doing it? Can it be a shift thing or a day thing? You come on Mondays, you come on Wednesdays, and somebody else has to come on those other days. And maybe can she safely just be there by herself some? Maybe that'll motivate her to get up. I don't know, and I'm trying not to be insensitive to her, but all I can do is react to what you've called in to me, but I've got to be sensitive that there is two sides to this story. But what I can sense now, but regardless of what the two sides are, is that you're feeling very overwhelmed, and that's not good for you. So maybe this is a time for you, Miss Anonymous, to take a step back and say, what do you need to be doing to take care of you? You're pouring out a whole lot into your mom, and nothing's pouring back into you. What are some things that you need to be engaging in? Does it just feel like she wants you to do everything for her because it just feels like it? It just in your head, you've multiplied it by 1,000. Is it really that bad, or is it that you are so overwhelmed that it feels that way? I will also caution you to find some outside interests away from your mom. Find a way. You need some downtime. You need some away time to reconnect to your friends, to reconnect to your hobbies, to reconnect to things that bring you relief and outlet for all of the frustrations and headaches that come with caregiving. because caregiving is hard work and you need a break. So a lot I'm trying to say in a short amount of time, but I can't tell you if you need to continue to do this. Only you can. And sometimes making that decision is hard, but once you've made it and say, I can't do this, but I'm going to find a place or I'm going to find people who can do it. And maybe that's part of the overwhelming feeling that you have is that you're having right now is that you have just been locked down with your mom for months and maybe a year now, and you just need some getaway time. Maybe you need to just get away. I want to encourage you to start looking at organizations. You didn't tell me, you know, what your mom's diagnosis is, but you want to start looking at foundations that are set up for the different diagnoses. What does she, has she had a stroke? Yeah, she has diabetes. Is it a cancer? Is it a arthritis? You know, if there is a foundation, and was your dad or your mom in the services, and what kind of benefits are available that can provide respite care services for you? I mean, have you signed up with the home health? Have you signed up with a hospice service, a palliative care service? They just provide that support that you need for individuals that need an abundance of care. And a benefit to signing on with some of these agencies is they will give you the information on the respite services, which is services that would allow for your mom to go into a place for a week or two while you can get away and unwind and then come back and just feeling refreshed, getting home health therapy service involved as well. But yeah, definitely start talking to your doctor. So I want you to replay this call back and start making some notes of what I'm saying, because I think some of these things could be a benefit to you in addressing the pain and you reconnecting into the things that you like to do. What are the things that you like to do to sort of separate from your mom, although you're in the same house? You know, and then having a schedule and saying, look, these are my downtimes. I'm here. If there's an emergency, I'm still in the house. But everything has been done for you. Everything is done. You've eaten, you've been changed, you've been to the bathroom or whatever. But right now, for the next 2 hours or the next 3 hours, mom, I don't need my name called. There's nothing that I can do. I can do for you for 3 hours or 2 hours, and just set those boundaries and just say, I have to have my time for me. But just saying, look, I'm taking care of an emergency right now. I won't be able to come in here in your room until after this, because I'm taking care of this because I have an emergency I need to attend to. Well, you're doing self-care in your room, in your space, outside. It is an emergency. And you just have to build those things into the day so you can take care of you. So I want to encourage you to really set aside time for you. Looking into organizations, there are many, many, you know, paid options if that is something you're able to do. Many coaches, self-care coaches, many, many professionals who are really schooled at walking you through the process, finding that time for you and setting boundaries. And if you need more information on any of that, I want to encourage you to email me at the website at c.marshall@findingafoothold.com. Well, look, thank you for calling again and good luck. And really thank you for all you have done so far for mom. A million thanks. You can't hear it enough. Thank you. Thank you for giving of your time and giving of your efforts. But now call back and I want to say thank you for you taking care of you. I want you to tell me all the fun things that you're going to start doing for yourself. Have a good weekend and have a good day. Now, welcome to the safety portion of our podcast. As an occupational therapist, one of the key components that we address across the board is patient safety, caregiver safety. And one of the aspects that I want to highlight in this is wheelchair safety, specifically wanting to highlight
the support aspects of a wheelchair that need to be in place so that a person can sit in the wheelchair safely and be able to keep an upright posture. And the five components of that are that you want to make sure that their hips are in the right place, that they can be seated back far enough back in the wheelchair. The thighs in the back are making a capital L shape, with the back being the vertical part and the thighs being that horizontal. That L shape of their body when they're sitting is really important. And in order to do that, you want to make sure that the hips can be seated all the way back in the wheelchair. And then the next one is the back support, making sure that back is in the correct position. Ideally, you want them in an upright position. I mean, there are some cases where that wheelchair needs to have that little angle to go back a little bit, and those are more of a specialized chair. But those standard wheelchairs, which tend to be that black slingback chair, a cloth back and a cloth seat that folds, you push it together to close it and you pull it apart, and it has an X bar on the frame that allows it to move in and out to collapse it and pull it back out. That's the standard wheelchair that I'm talking about today, not the high specialized powered wheelchairs or motorized wheelchairs. But some of the principles I'll tell you today cross over into both of them. So the first thing you want to consider when you're looking at wheelchair positioning is, can their hips get all the way back? Can their pelvis sit all the way back in the wheelchair? And they have enough room under the thighs to support their legs. And then you want to, next, number two, is look at the back. Do they have enough back support? Is the back support sufficient? And then the third thing you want to look at for as far as support, because the whole part of having a properly positioned wheelchair is that you want every part of the wheel of the body to be properly supported. And that means your pelvis is positioned properly and supported, your back is properly supported, and then the next one is your feet, that they have adequate foot rest on the wheelchair. Now, many people take those foot rests off while they're in the house because it just makes it easier that the foot rests don't bump into different things and nick furniture, and it makes it harder to turn when the footrests are on. But they do have an important role, and you want to make sure that you get in the habit of putting the footrest back on, or you taking a box and putting it under their feet if they're going to stay in place, and that prevents that downward slide for the feet to contact the floor. In order for the feet to contact the floor, then their body moves down in the wheelchair so that their feet can touch the floor. And that accounts for a lot of the sliding that takes place when a person is sitting in a wheelchair. So you want to make sure that they have adequate foot support from the footrest, or if you have to remove them and they're sitting for a long period of time, put the footrest back on, or you can put a box that would position their feet at the same height that they would be if you had let them remain on the footrest. So we got pelvis support, trunk support, foot support, and now you have the armrest. You want to make sure the armrests are there. You have what we call the desk armrest. That means the armrests are shorter at the top where the pad is, where your arms rest, and then it goes down. It can go out again toward the bottom of the armrest, and that allows for a chair to move up closely to a desk or a table so that a person can sit up close enough so they can eat a meal. So those are the armrest. And the next thing you want to do is the head. Again, this is for that customized wheelchair that has a head support on it. But for the standard issued wheelchair, that black wheelchair, a sling back, sling seat that collapses so you can put it in the back of the car, they don't come with a headrest for the most part. So it's not really a big issue. But if you have a chair with a headrest on it, you definitely want to make sure it's properly fitted and positioned by a wheelchair specialist. So those are the five areas of the wheelchair that provides the best support for a person that is in the wheelchair. Now, even with that best support, let me tell you, people don't stay in place. They move, they slide, they slump, and it can become a chore of keeping them in the wheelchair upright. You're constantly having to pull them back up in the wheelchair, and when you're having to do that, it's because one of those components is not properly doing its job. And it is, most often than not, the footrest. Removing a footrest is very convenient for allowing the chair to easily move throughout the house, but it takes the support from under the feet, and as a result, the feet have to go down those 3 to 4 inches lower to rest on the floor. And when you move your feet from the footrest to the floor, it shifts other parts of the body. The pelvis is no longer seated all the way back in the chair. They're sliding forward. And also, then the back support is no longer there. When you slide forward, then there's that big gap where you can literally stick your hand behind their lower back, and you could feel maybe a 3 to 4 inch gap between their bottom, their buttocks, and the chair. And as a result, then you have their shoulder blades, their upper back is no longer resting on the top of the back support. All of that is just a recipe for someone to slide out of the wheelchair and land on the floor. And that's the person you're constantly repositioning throughout the day. Oh, you're sliding down again. Let me pull you up. So there's a way to fix that. And I've mentioned it earlier, is that you have to keep their feet at that same height. And if the footrests are too low till their feet are on the footrest, but then their hips, they're still sliding forward to put their feet on the footrest, then the footrest can be adjusted. There's a little place on each footrest where you can turn with a little wrenchy thing, and you can push up the foot plate, and you can bring it up until they're positioned in a better position. So what I'm going to do is, y'all stay tuned, and I'll put out there's going to be a video attached to the podcast that's going to demonstrate these postures. And I want you to take a look at that, because if you're that caregiver and you are wearing yourself out pulling someone back up in a wheelchair, this can help. And also, I'm going to demonstrate the correct technique for repositioning someone in a wheelchair who has slid down in the wheelchair. So stay tuned and take a look at that video. That video will be linked to this podcast, and you can also find it on our social media platforms. Have a good day. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the Finding a Foothold podcast. I hope you found information helpful for your situation and you're beginning to envision yourself as a successful caregiver. Remember, you cannot do this alone. So if you have a question to ask or a word of encouragement for other caregivers, I encourage you to call in by visiting the findingafoothold.com website and using the call-in button. You can find this podcast on our website and on all the major podcast streaming sites. We also ask that you share our podcast with others who are navigating this challenging caregiving journey. Join us again next time. Finding a Foothold cares about how you give care.